Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others, and we're going through the Gospel of Luke. We're in a session about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 7, and it's going to be a very interesting broadcast today. So grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, switch on your brain, open up your spiritual eyes and spiritual ears for some wonderful truth from God's Word. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask your glory will shine forth from your word. Open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears. Let your angels carry this broadcast to the four corners of the globe, and may people be blessed today through your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we want you to be blessed on this broadcast. So open your Bibles at Luke chapter 7. Verses 18 to 35. It's a bit of a long passage, so bear with me as I read it all. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 35. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' In that hour he," that is Jesus, "healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children, sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man is coming, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." So that's a long passage. It is talking about the predecessor of Jesus, John the Baptist, the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were both of the priestly clan. And he was a priestly family. He went out into the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey, didn't eat any normal food, drink any wine, have any of the normal things of life. And he was a person devoted to hearing from God. He's spoken of in Isaiah and in the book of Malachi as the one who would precede the Messiah, the one who would wash the world with like fuller's soap. He would preach a gospel of repentance. Now, John the Baptist preached this gospel of repentance, which in a sense overturned the priests and the Levites and the temple, because he said instead of having to go and sacrifice an animal, a bull or a goat or two turtle doves, you had to sacrifice yourself by going into the water and out again in baptism. He said baptism would cleanse people of their sins. You didn't need to sacrifice a bull or a sheep. You didn't need to go up to the temple. You didn't need that altar up there to get right with God. You had to repent of your sins. It was an internal work of God in your heart and mind, an invisible work of God that didn't involve paying priests money, because the priesthood at this point had become very commercial and very corrupt, as it has in some aspects of the world today. People were asking for money for this and money for that so that you could get right with God. So John the Baptist bypassed that. He bypassed the establishment and said, come here, down here to the Jordan River, dip in the Jordan, and you will be right with God. And the people flocked to John the Baptist. But the official people, the Pharisees and the lawyers and so on, they did not. They didn't like this system being challenged. So John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus. He said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and spoke of Jesus in glowing terms and said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And Jesus was special. He was Lord, he was God, he's Messiah. He's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So all the law and all the prophets were until John. We find that in Matthew chapter 11. So John the Baptist is the end of the Old Testament, and Jesus is the beginning of the New Testament. And so these two people are related. They're cousins of each other. And John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. So by this time, John the Baptist is in jail. He challenged Herod over the fact that he was taking his brother's wife, and he disrupted that marriage and was abusing his power to get the woman that he wanted. And so John's in jail. And he's having trouble. He knows that his days are limited, I think, because of the venom of Herodias. And he needs to know whether the Messiah has come or not. So he sends his disciples to Jesus to say, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're looking for? Or shall we look for another? And at that hour, Jesus is doing an enormous number of miracles. Things are happening left, right, and center. The lepers are being cleansed. The dead are being raised. Many people are getting their sight back. And the Messiah, Jesus, has now a religion of power, not just a religion of law, but a religion of power. So when Jesus came to someone, he just didn't lecture them on this is the right thing to do. Here you are. Here's some commandments. Do these and you will be okay. He didn't do that. He came to the leper and said, here you are. Here's the grace of God. You are now clean. Came to the blind person and said, here you are. Here's the grace of God. You can now see. Now, something that's very important about Jesus is when Jesus does something, it's gracious, it's good, it's complete, and it's instant. So when Jesus gives you eternal life, before you receive eternal life, you don't have it, you're lost. After you receive eternal life, you are saved, you have eternal life. 1 minute, you are lost, the next, you're found. And so with the leper. 1 minute, the leper is full of disease, the next minute, the leper is perfectly cleansed. The skin is as good as new. Same with the people that are raised from the dead. 1 second, they're dead. The next second, they're standing up and they're walking off and Jesus has healed them. Jesus has raised them from the dead. With Lazarus, 1 minute, Lazarus was dead in the tomb, wrapped in things. The next, he was walking out and coming forth. Jesus' miracles are sudden, good, complete, and holy. He does these things to declare the presence of the kingdom of God. And Jesus' work in your life is powerful. When he came to the disciples later on in Luke chapter 9, he says, I give you authority over demons and all diseases. Now go out and preach. 1 minute, the disciples had no authority. The next minute, they were bestowed with the power to cast out demons and heal diseases. They didn't have to go to a long seminary for many, many years and learn Latin and Greek and Hebrew. Just 1 minute, they had the power. The next 1 minute they did not have the power, the next they did have the power because Jesus gave that authority to them. And so God will give you what you need to make progress in the faith in an instant. God can change your life completely and utterly in an instant, just like he did with those lepers. There was a parable of 10 lepers. They come to Jesus. 1 minute they're full of disease. The next they're going away rejoicing. And so God can change your life in an instant. And the disciples of John the Baptist turn up And it says here, in that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. Just think of the demon-possessed people. Think of the Gadarene demoniac. One minute he is completely insane. He is breaking his chains. He's foaming at the mouth. People are terrified of him. He is a demon that controls the territory. It is said that the storm that they experienced as they went to deal with the demoniac was a physical storm generated by the demons in the Gadarene demoniac, knowing that their time was short. That was one of the theories that's out there. So here he is. He's completely mad. He's completely demon-possessed with many, many demons, a legion of demons. And we are legion, for we are many. Here he is. And then, a minute later, he's sane, he's clothed, and he is in his right mind. So he's gone from being completely mad to completely sane. And it has happened because Jesus commanded the demons to come out of him. So here we have the transformational work of Jesus Christ. It is sudden. It is complete. One minute a person is in one state, and the next they're in a completely different state. He went from being mad to being sane. The disciples went from having no authority to having great authority and able to go around Israel and use that authority in village to village. And they had the authority to cast out demons, though sometimes they failed. But they were able to walk and then use things that God had given them. And this is a new thing. Something has happened in the heavenly realms here. Before Jesus, none of this was happening. Or very little. Very few people were healed of leprosy. Maybe Naaman the Syrian and a few others. But there was a handful of miracles. And yet, when Jesus, the Messiah, comes along, miracles are commonplace. The spiritual realms have changed. God has come to earth incarnate. Jesus is God manifest in human flesh. He is full of glory. He is full of grace. He is full of truth. And he moves through the world as a force, a transformational force. Jesus isn't just a philosopher spouting out nice words. Jesus is forceful. He is powerful. He has authority. And when Jesus turns up, situations are changed, lives are changed, and the blind are bestowed their sight, and the poor and the needy get good news, the gospel, preached to them so that they can go from death to life. They can go from a life of misery and oppression to a new life where they're being transformed by Jesus. And this is why you must preach the gospel. This is why you must know the gospel and preach the gospel. It is not human philosophy that will open the ears of the deaf. It is not human philosophy that will turn a leper completely clean, although those leprosy tablets can certainly help. There's nothing out there that can raise the dead. But human philosophy cannot take someone like Lazarus, and you can't share with them the philosophy of Schopenhauer or something like someone like that, and they won't come up from the dead, will they? It is powerless. Human religion and human philosophy cannot do the transformational work, cannot do the miracles, and do not have the power of the name of Jesus. But we know the name of Jesus is above every other name in heaven and on earth. And in one day, everything in heaven and on earth will bow before the name of Jesus, saying Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Christianity, the gospel, is authoritative, powerful, and instantly transformational, taking us from spiritual death to spiritual life. Something big happens when someone's born again. They're lost, they're confused, their sins are not forgiven. And we'll see in the next show, when we talk about the woman with the alabaster vial, our sins can be forgiven in a moment. So we find that Jesus is transformational in the instant. He is not just a philosopher. He is not just a nice person. He is not just coming with nice principles for living that you can write on a coffee cup. Rather, Jesus is there as the gospel himself, as God himself, as grace and truth himself. And when he enters into human situations, the dead are raised, the blind see, the lepers are cleansed. And so he says at the end, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Who could be offended by someone's eyes being opened? Well, a lot of people were. A lot of people in the establishment who wanted control, who wanted power. They were embarrassed. They were humiliated by the spiritual power that Jesus displayed. And they were offended. But the poor and the needy, They were blessed because Jesus came with a blessing. And in this program, we want to bless you as well with the word and the truth of God. So believe in Jesus. Believe that he can turn up. He will turn up. He will change your life. He will change your situation. Things will be turned around, and not slowly but quickly, because by your faith you will be saved and you will go in peace. Then Jesus starts to talk about John the Baptist himself. When John's messages had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. And he says about, did you go out in the wilderness to see a reed blown by the wind? No. And then he says about, did you go to see rich people? No. What did you go out to see? You went out to see a prophet, and more than a prophet. And it says in Matthew 11, verses 11 to 13, that Jesus was more than the prophet. He was the end of the law and the prophets. They were finalized in John the Baptist. The whole Old Testament is wrapped up in John the Baptist, who is greater than all of the Old Testament saints, because he is the predecessor for the Messiah. And Jesus says to John the Baptist, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Well, what did Jesus mean by that? But that among those born of women, there is none greater than John. Well, obviously, he's referring to those born of women and those born of the Spirit. So those who are born of the Spirit, those who are born again, are greater than the Old Testament prophets, and John is greater. He sits in between. So John the Baptist is greater than the Old Testament prophets. He's greater than Moses and Isaiah, according to Jesus. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater even than John the Baptist. Now, how can that be? How can you and I, as born-again members of the kingdom of God, be greater than John the Baptist? Are we better than John the Baptist? No, we are not. Do we have a greater place in redemptive history? No, we do not. But we are members of the household of God. We have been given a new status. We are like someone who is once a gutter person, who was drunk, who was full of drugs, and then someone walks along and says, today I'm making you a general, and you're going to be a general. And they get up out of the gutter and they become a four-star general. We can imagine a king doing that. He walks along and, today I'm going to make you a general. Or, as we see with Joseph, one minute he's in the prison, the next he's the prime minister of Egypt. So we find out that God can do these sudden transformations. Well, what's he done with us? He's put us into Christ. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We have been given power and authority over the demonic. Christians can cast out demons, but the prophet Isaiah could not cast out demons. He was given great revelation from God, but he did not have the spiritual power and authority that a humble believer has who is baptized in the Holy Ghost and can go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons and do the works that God has called you and I to do. You see, there's a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have power. And that was demonstrated at the Gate Beautiful when Peter and John go along and here is this man who's been lame since birth. And they say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the person rises up and walk because they have power. They have authority. Authority has come to them through the name of Jesus. And that kind of authority being given to common people, like the apostles, like all who believe, the signs will follow them. They will speak in tongues. They will prophesy. They will heal the sick. They will raise the dead, etc., etc. In Mark chapter 16, those who believe are in a new spiritual realm. Now, there's three spiritual heavens: the third heaven where God is, the second heaven where angels who are on God's side and fallen angels fight. And we find that in Revelation chapter 14, and the first heaven where the birds fly. Now we have been seated with Christ in the third heaven, and we have power and we have authority, not because we are good, but because of where we are spiritually seated. We have authority, and that has been given to us. So we who are the least in the kingdom of heaven are greater than John the Baptist, who is greater than the Old Testament saints. Now it doesn't make any sense, I know, but that's the grace of God. God has raised you up and seated you in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And you're to stand in your authority, and you're to walk and live a holy life, because it is not appropriate for someone who is seated in the third heaven to be sinful. You must be aware of how holy your calling is, and you must live a high and holy life. It is appropriate for one who is called of God to do high and mighty and spiritual things. So here we are, we're finding that we have been seated in heavenly realms with Christ, that we have given a place in heaven through grace alone. We are not saved by our own works. We are not saved by our own knowledge. We're saved by the gracious acts of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He has lifted you up out of your sins and out of your darkness and instantly changed your spiritual nature, so that when you got born again, you felt joy, you felt light, you felt something had happened in you, and you knew that God had done some kind of surgical operation, and you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things had passed away, and all things have become new. And you felt that, and you knew that. And God has given you a new spiritual status whereby you can do spiritual things. You are destined for eternal life. Continuing on with our passage here on verse 29. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." So here we have a passage where Jesus challenges the religious establishment. The Pharisees and the lawyers and the people who are up there, so to speak, who are seen to be in charge of the temple and all the spiritual things going on, they refused the baptism of John, and they refused God's purpose for themselves. God had a purpose for these Pharisees and lawyers. He wanted them to be born again. God does not want anyone damned to hell. God wants all people to repent and come to a knowledge of the truth, even if they're very difficult people like these Pharisees and lawyers. But what got in their way? What kept them from salvation? Their own social pride, their own puffed up desire to control the religious establishment, their own despising of John the Baptist, who they said had a demon, and so on and so forth, because he was a very interesting person, a very strange person, living out there in the wilderness, clothed in camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. They said, he's mad, he's lost it. And yet the ordinary people said, no, he's not mad, he hasn't lost it. He has God. He has an anointing of God on his life. And they obeyed the spirit that was on John the Baptist. And it's often rich, sophisticated people don't listen to the spirit of God. They don't listen to their spiritual intuition, because it will humble them. It will bring them down from their high position. And they'll have to go out there to the Jordan, get in the water, be baptized, repent of their sins, and they're proud. They don't want to admit they've got sins. They think they are better than everyone else. And so they refuse what the Holy Spirit is saying to their conscience. They refuse what the Holy Spirit is putting into their mind, in their heart, and they walk away from God's purpose for themselves. Now, God may be placing a calling on your life. He might be speaking to you, and he might say, go and be a pastor. Go and be an evangelist. Go and plant churches. Go and help the orphans and the sick and the needy. He might be speaking to you right now. He might be speaking to you and saying, get born again. Go, find a pastor, pray the prayer of salvation and be born again. God has a calling for you. Do not refuse the purpose of God that he is placing on your life, because it is a terrible thing. And the judgment will come like fire, like a winnowing fork, separating the wheat from the chaff. You do not want to walk into the judgment of God. Go with the purposes of God. Do not go against the purposes of God. If God is calling you to salvation, if he's calling you to be baptized in the Spirit, if he's calling you to leave an immoral relationship, Get up and get out of that immoral relationship. If God is calling you to put away the booze, to put away drugs, to put away stealing, to put away fornication, to put away pornography, obey God and leave them those things behind and get renewed. Go and repent of your sins just as the people did. Even the tax gatherers and the tax collectors, they went and they obeyed John the Baptist because they knew that God was speaking through John the Baptist straight to them. And they gave heed and they were justified and they realized that John the Baptist was pointing out the true way to salvation. Now, if you're not yet born again, I want you to pray after me. I want you to ask God into your heart and your mind. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. Lord Jesus Christ, please save me from my sins. Please place your Holy Spirit within me. Grant me eternal life. I confess my sins and I ask your forgiveness. And I ask to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be made born again in Jesus' name. Cry out to God. Say, God, forgive me. God, save me. God, place your Holy Spirit upon me. Cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ now and accept his plans and his purposes for your life. You need to be saved. You need to enter into the purposes of God for your life, which is salvation, which is healing, which is grace, which is the good things of God. Don't hold back. Don't be proud. Don't be stubborn. Walk away from your sin right now and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Start a new life. Get born again so that the old things are done away and a new life comes upon you. Cry out to God for salvation, for he is near and today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't walk away from this broadcast thinking about it. Instead, right now, during this broadcast, say, Lord Jesus Christ, I confess my sins. Save me from my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Make me into a Christian. Give me your Holy Ghost so I can walk holy with you. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.